Luke, I mean, let's turn to Gospel of Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15, and this is a chapter that's filled with parables. And we know what a parable is. It's a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And many times our Lord spoke in parables, and many times he gave the explanation for the parable and what the parable means. And we know we have here, if you would, we're going to just look at one parable in particular, but I want to give you this information. I thought it was interesting, and as I was studying this, it says here in verse 3, talk about the parable of the lost sheep. Well, that's the work of Jesus. Jesus reclaims the lost sheep. It says here, if you would, the parable of the lost coin. And starting in verse 8, that speaks about the work of the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost does in our heart and life. And then in verse 11, it starts about the parable of the lost son. This is the work of God the Father and what the Father does in our life. It's interesting here that Jesus Christ was speaking about these parables. And I believe as he got to the parable here that we're going to discuss this morning and preach to you this morning about the lost son, I believe he was talking to the Pharisees in chapter 2. You read that these Pharisees was hanging around. A Pharisee was supposed to be someone that was pointing somebody to Christ, that was telling others about Jesus Christ and the Messiah that was to come. But these Pharisees, they went against what Christ was teaching. And here he gave a parable about a lost son. Let's look at this, if you will, in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they begin to be merry. Look here, if you would, in verse 24. The Bible says, for this my son was dead. Here the father still called this young man my son. And that's going to be very important to us at the end of the message today. But the Bible says that he was dead and is alive. And that's how all of our lives was. We were dead, but now we're being made alive by Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was lost, but now is found in verse 24. He was lost and is now found. He was dead and was lost. But my friend, the father done something in his life, and because of what God's done in his life, he's not dead, he's not lost anymore, but he's made alive, and he's found, and the Bible says they begin to be merry. They begin to be happy. They begin to celebrate because of what the father has done in this young boy's life. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, if you will. Father, we thank you, God, for this time we have together. I pray you help me to preach, help us to hear, help us to understand what this parable should mean to us that are saved by God's amazing grace. Lord, I love you this morning and I need you. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. This morning, with God's help, I want to try to preach to you on this topic, on this point, on this verse, my son. Notice what the father said here in verse 24. For this, my son. Hey, thank God we can be called the sons of God. Hey, thank God that because we're saved by God's amazing grace, my friend, we become part part of God's family. And here this father whose son has went astray, whose son has left a home and went out into the world, and we see all that took place in his life, but yet he come back to the father, and the father said, hey, this is still my son. I want you to know, my friend, in my 8 years of Christian life, I've been saved for 8 years almost. I want you to notice that I've come short many times. I've failed God many times. I've done what God has asked me not to do many times. But thank God I can always come to my father. And my father will still always call me his son. Hey, thank God this young boy went against his father's wishes and went into a far country and spent all of his money on righteous living. But he come to himself and come back to the father's house, and the father greeted him with compassion and with love. He said, hey, I want you to know something. This is still my son. He was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And you can take this parable and use it as a man that's lost without Christ, who comes to Christ for salvation, and God the Father saves him. Or you can take this parable this morning and say that someone's saved by God's amazing grace, but gets out of the will of God and gets out of the control of God. I believe we never get out of the care of God. God always cares for his children, but I believe sometimes we get out of the control of God and does not allow God to control our life, and we get away from him. But thank God we can always come back. We can always come back. Thank God I've got a family I can always come back to. My mom and stepfather, I wish it would never happen, but maybe one day I have to come and come back home, come back to live with them. And I believe I've always got a place there. It might be cramped, it might be crowded, but I believe I've got a place. Notice here, if you would, of the death of a son. Look here, if you would, in verse 12, the Bible said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. Notice what the younger son did said. He said, hey, Father, give me what belongs to me. Many times, my friend, that's us as Christians. We say, God, I want all that belongs to me. God, I want your rest. I want your joy. I want your happiness. I want the finances. I want physical wealth. I want mental health. I want spiritual health. God, give me all that belongs to me. You know, this young son, he wasn't supposed to get his father's wealth until his father passed away. And when the father passed away, they take all of his inheritance and they divide it among his siblings. They divide it amongst his children. Here, the young man, he's already acting like his father's dead. He said, Father, he said, I don't want your rules anymore. I don't want your regulations anymore. I don't want your religion anymore. Just give me what I deserve and I will go on my way. Hey, thank God, God don't give us what we do deserve. Hey, thank God we don't get what we do deserve. If you've got what you deserve, if I've got what I deserve, we'll be in hell this morning. But look at what his father's done. Not only did his young son say, Father, give me what I want, but look at what the father's done. It says here in verse 12, Father, give me the portion of the goods that follow to me, and he divided unto them his living. Here not only do we see the death of a son, but we see the gentleness of the father. You know what his father done, Brother Jeff? He says, Son, I don't want you to leave. Son, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay here with me. There's many more things you've got to learn. There's many more times I've got to help you. But if you're dead set on taking your journey and going to a far country, here's what you deserve. And the father gave it to him. Many times as Christians, we say, God, we don't want your way no more. We don't want it your way no more. God, we want it our way. But you know what God says? God says, you can't have it your way. But as you go your way, I'll help you. I'll give you strength and give you grace and give you mercy and give you love. Many times we have to learn the hard way, don't we? Many times as you raise children, you got to learn the hard way. Many times if you make an agreement, you got to learn the hard way. Many times these young whippersnappers, as some of you might call them, they grow up and we say they've got to learn the hard way. Here this young boy was learning the hard way about a father's love. This boy was dead. Notice what he says here in verse 13. And not many days after that, after the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. This young boy said, Father, give me what's mine. The father graciously gave it to him, and the Bible says he took all that was his, and he went and took his journey to a far country. I want you to notice this boy this morning is a person that's saved by God's grace. like you and me this morning. And many times we come before God and say, God, give me what I deserve. Give me what's mine. Give me all that belongs to me. And God gives us all that belongs to us, and we'll take it and we'll go into a far country and never use it for God. I've seen it many times, people get saved. And God's blessed them with a talent to sing, or God's blessed them with a talent to teach, or God's put a call on their life to preach, and they take what God's given them and they use it for their own benefit. My friend, we should never use what God's given us for our benefit. Follow along with me, if you will. I want to show you quickly what's going on here. The death of a son. Notice what it says in verse 13. He journeyed to a far country and there wasted his substance. Here this young boy is dead. He said, Father, give me what's mine. The father gave it to him. He took his journey to a far country. The Bible says he wasted his substance, my friend. Many times us as Christians, we waste what God gives us. I look around at many people's wasting their lives when they should be living for God. And God's blessed them and God's given to them. And they use it just for the world. The Bible says he spent his living, he spent his money on righteous living. This young man, this younger son, he got what the father gave him. He got saved. He got all the father gave him. And then he took all the stuff and went back into the world and lived for the world and wasted his substance on righteous living, my friend. If you look that up, what he done, he spent all of his money on drugs. He spent all of his money on liquor. He spent all of his money on women. He spent all of his money on everything the world had to offer. He was dead. Many Christians are dead. Many Christians who get saved by God's grace is living just a dead life. They're living for the world. I'm looking around at the Sunday morning crowd. I'm looking around at those who are saved by God's grace who should be living for the Lord. And I want us to know this morning that some of us is dead. Some of us had no life in us. Some of us has taken what God has given us and we're using it for the world and we're wasting our substance on the world and we're spending it on righteous living just to get some mere pleasure from the world that's going to be gone and burn up one day. This younger boy, he was dead. Many Christians today are dead. Of course, you got life, you're living, you're breathing, you're walking, you're talking, but you know and I know your spiritual life is dead. You have nothing to show for what God has done for your life. You know what many of us are doing? We're wasting God's grace. The grace that saves us, we're just wasted. The grace that keeps us, we're wasting it. The grace that satisfies us, we're wasting it. Wasting God's grace. My friend, that's a deadly thing. The Bible says there's a sin unto death. And in the New Testament, there's about three people that has committed this sin unto death. I hope I encourage you to take time to read it and see what the sin unto death is. But here this boy, in verse 13, he was dead. He took his journey to a far country and there wasted his substance with righteous living. I want you to notice here, if you would, in verse 14, the dangers of the world. And when he has spent all, my friend, hey, that's what the world will make you do is it'll make you spend all that you have. He'll make you spend all that you have. The Bible says here in verse 14, and when he spent all that, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Here, this young boy, he took all that the father's given him. He went and took a long journey to the world, and the Bible says he spent all of his money, he spent all of his substance on righteous living. When he had spent all that he had, then the Bible says there's a great famine in the land. You know what's going on here? Hey, as long as the young boy had money, he had friends. As long as the young boy had money, he had the nicest cars, he had probably the nicest girlfriends, he probably had the nicest friends that money can buy, but hey, beloved, as soon as the money's gone, as soon as the money's gone, the friends is gone, the girlfriends is gone, the good times is gone, the parties is gone, as soon as the money's gone, all your friends will be gone. And the Bible says there came a famine in the land. I want you to know something here. We got young people, we got older people. The world will use you up. And where you have nothing left, the world will spit you out. If you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, or you've never been saved, I want you to know something. The world's not your friend. The world will use you. The world will abuse you. And as soon as the devil gets through having his heyday with you, he'll throw you to the side with absolutely nothing. Here, this young boy, he said, Father, give me what's mine. The father with a broken heart, I believe he gave it to the son. And his son went into the world and spent all of it in the world. And as soon as all it was gone, the Bible says a famine came in the land. There's nothing left for the boy. Let's notice what else the Bible says here. If you would, in verse 14, the Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Here, there's young boy who had everything to begin with. He had a loving father, a nice home, probably a career there on the farm. I don't know what kind of work they was doing, but this young boy, he went into the world. Like many Christians, we get saved, but we tiptoe back into the world. We get saved by God's grace, but yet we want to straddle the fence. And we want to live for God on Sunday, but we won't live for the world on Monday. We won't live for God on Wednesday, but we won't live for the world on Friday night and Saturday, my friend. Hey, you can't do that as a Christian. Hey, you can't live for the world and live for God at the same time. Either you're going to serve God and live for God, or you're going to serve the world and live for the devil, but you can't do both. This young man said, I'm going to go back to the world. I believe it's a better life. And there he spent all of his money. He was in a great famine. And the Bible says he began to be in want. I see many Christians, you know what they want? They want to have a better life. They want to serve God. But they're just too afraid to get back and serve the Lord. Because it costs to serve God. It costs friends. Here it says, I became a preacher. I have less friends now than I have ever had. I'm talking about friends that, of course, we got family in Christ. But I'm talking about friends who want to spend time with you, friends who want to come by the house and eat lunch with you, or eat dinner with you, friends who wants to spend their time with you. I've got less friends now than I did when I was drinking my beers and doing my dope. But my friend, I want you to know I've got a better life now than I ever have because I've got Jesus. Here, the danger of the world. Notice what it says here in verse 14. The Bible says he began to walk. Notice what it says in 15 and 16. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. And he set himself to his fields and fed swines. And when he had fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave it to him. Here this boy's getting lower and lower, ain't he? Boy, he left his father's house. He went into the world. He spent all of his money. Hey, after he spent all of his money, the world just pushed him to the side and said, hey, we don't want you anymore. We don't need you anymore. You're useless to us. Here this young boy began to be in want, and the Bible says he joined himself to the citizens of that country, and that man put him to work and feeding the swines. Here this was a Jewish boy. The Jewish people had no dealings with swines. They wouldn't eat the pigs. They wouldn't raise the pigs. They would have no dealings with the swine. But yet this young Jewish boy, he was out there feeding the swines. And the Bible says he would have feigned or gladly filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat. I want you to notice something. You get away from God, my friend, you'll get further and further down the world. You'll get further and further down the road of sin. And my friend, eventually you'll do things that you never would dream that you will be doing. If you get away from God, you get so far away from God and so low in sin that you'll start doing things that you never would dream that you would ever do in your life. For when I was lost, there's not one thing you could have said that I wouldn't have done. But here I'm saved by God's grace and I should be living a different life. But I want you to notice the people get away from God. They start doing things that they would never have done before. Start talking on the phone to somebody else that's not your wife. You start talking on the phone to somebody else that's not your husband. You'll start dressing up in a certain way to draw another man's or another woman's attention to your body. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about those who has made a profession of faith and say, hey, I'm saved by God's grace and God has done a work on my heart and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. But yet they get away from church and get away from reading their Bibles and get away from prayer and get back into the world and start following and living for the devil. And they start doing things that they would never imagine they would do. Start doing things they would never imagine they would do. Heard Jeff speaking this morning about Sunday school class. I've known preachers who'll stay up past midnight, 1, 2 o'clock at night, looking at pornography on a computer. I know Christians, good godly men, who'll stay up to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning looking at naked women on a computer. A year ago, they wouldn't have done that. Hey, 8 months ago, they wouldn't have done that. But they get so far away from God and further and further and further down the line till they start doing things they would never imagine that they would do. Here this young boy, you know what he said? He said, I would have gladly jumped into the trough of the pig and filled my gut full of the pig's food because he began to be in want. There's many people here today. You're doing things now that you would never dream that you would have done a year ago. I'm talking to people right now that's in this sanctuary, that's in this church house. You're doing things today that you would never dream you would have done a year ago. He said, preacher, how do you know that? Because God gave me the message to preach on. And God knows there's somebody here that's saved by God's grace, but you're not living the life you should be living. And you begin to be involved and you go back into the world and you're trying to live for the devil and you have no joy and have no peace, but you're getting further and further and further and further away from God. And you're beginning to do things right now that you would never have done if you stayed faithful to God's word. You're doing things now that you'll never dream of 6 months ago. Beloved, the way it is now, how is it going to be 6 months from today if you keep getting away from God and further and further and further down? This boy began to eat with the pigs. He began to be in want. And the Bible says no man cared for him. No man loved him. Look here if you would. The dangers of the world. Look at verse 16. And he would have fain has filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat. And no man gave it to him. I want you to know something. You get away from God, ain't nothing I could do to help you. You get away from God, ain't nothing this church can do to help you. You get away from God, ain't nothing your wife or your husband can do to help you. The only help you can get is from the one that you left. The only way you can get help is from God himself. Notice here if you would. The desires or the decisions he made. In verse 17, the Bible says that when he came to himself, that's the work of God. When he came to himself, here you follow this young boy. He got out of the will of his father and he journeyed to a far country. He spent all of his money on righteous living. And my friend there, he just lived it up until the money was gone. And when the money was gone, a great famine come in the land and kicked him to the side and said, hey, we have no more need of you. We have nothing else to do with you. And the Bible says he joined himself to the citizens of that country. And that man put him to work feeding the swines. But then the Bible says he came to himself. And that's the work of God. Today I'm trying to preach to you that you're dead in your Christian life. And only God can do the work that needs to be done. Only God can come back and revive your dead body back to life. The Bible says he came unto himself. Let me read this Psalms, if you will. The Bible says here in Psalms 107, let me just read a few verses to you. The Bible says in verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing. That they go down into the sea in ships that do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy winds which lifteth up the waters thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down against the depths. Their souls is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and staggered like a drunk man and are at their wit's end. Here the Bible says that God brings people to their wit's end. We've got people here today that's come to themselves. You're at your wit's end and you have no idea what to do next. You have no idea. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say you got saved by God's grace. And you live for the Lord, and you've done everything you could for God, and then something happened, and you got away from God. You got away from this Bible. You got away from the preaching of God's word. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. And of course, if you're not living according to the Bible, what I preach to you is going to hurt. But it hurts with love. It hurts with compassion. This young boy, he's got away from the father's control. He got away from the father, and he went to a far country, and he wasted his whole life. But then he come to himself. He's probably thinking like you're thinking. Is there any way back to God? Is there any way I could have what I used to have in Jesus? I look at some of your lives. I look at some people in this church and some people that I know personally. And their life is not what it used to be in Christ. They've got a little bit further down. And a little bit further down. And a little bit further down. Now they're asking a great question. Is there any way I can get back to where I used to be with God? Is there any way I can get back to where I used to be with God? Notice what the Bible says here, if you would. In Luke chapter 19. Chapter 15, verse 19. And the Bible says, "And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Here this young boy had a plan, Brother Jeff. He said, "I'll tell you what I do. I can't live out here no more. I can't live in the world no more. It's a whole lot better for me when I was living for God and my heart's breaking and the world don't care for me. No man's giving to me." He said, "I'll tell you what. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to say, 'Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Would you please just make me a hired servant?'" He said, "There's no way my father would ever love me as a son, but maybe he would hire me as a servant and I could work in his field and live out there in the servants' houses and do what the servants do, but it's a whole lot better for me to be part of God's work than to be out here in the world." And many of us, we're asking ourselves this question. We've got away from God. And we got away from what God wanted us to do. And we got further and further down in sin. And we've done things that we would never imagine we would do. And we come to ourselves. And we ask this question. Will God ever take me back? Will God ever take me back? The Bible says his thoughts is not our thoughts. Brother Mac, you know what our thoughts are? If somebody leaves God's family and gets into sin and serves the world, God should just snuff them out right then, take care of them. The Bible says his thoughts, not our thoughts. His ways is not our ways. Well, I'm in a position, if somebody crosses me, hey, I just want to get back. I want to get even. Hey, if somebody crosses me and does something wrong, hey, I'm not easy to forgive. I'm not easy just to forgive it and let go of it. Hey, but God's ways, not our ways, and God's thoughts, not our thoughts. And this young boy said, "Hey, I'll tell you what I do. I'll come back to the Father, and I say, 'Father, I know I'm not worthy to be called your son, but just make me a servant.'" Many of us are asking the question today, all that I've ever done in my life since I've been saved, will God still take me back as a son, or would he take me back as a servant? I want you to notice here the desires of the Father. I said all that just to say this tonight, this morning, the desires of the Father. Notice what it says here in verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him." My friend, you got away from God. I've got away from God. We've not lived the Christian life that we should be living in the Lord. And sometimes we come back to God and say, "God, I don't know if you would take me back. I don't know if you would forgive my sins. And God, I really don't know if you would ever use me again." So what do? We come back to God and say, "God, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Well, let me just be close to you as a servant." And the Father, the Bible says, when the young boy started coming home, the Father saw him a great way off. I want you to know something today. You've messed up. You come short of your Christian life. And you're not living for God the way you should. And you've done things that you would have never thought you would have done. I want you to know something. God's still looking for you to come back home. Hey, this Father was looking for him every day. I believe his father went out in the field working in the field, and every once in a while he'll look up and get on his tiptoes to see if his son was coming, and his son wasn't coming home, so he'd go back to work and start working in the field. And every day, my friend, the father would go out and look for his son to see if his son was coming home. And one day the Bible says he looked a great ways off and he saw his son coming home, and the Bible says the father ran to him and had compassion on him and kissed him on his neck. I want you to know something today. If you got away from God, hey, God still loves you, and God still wants you, and God's looking for you today, and God's looking above the horizon. He says, "Son, come home. Son, come home. Son, come home. I love you. I love you. I love you." Here it is, Father. Notice what this Father's done. The Bible says here, if you would, in verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, that's the love of God, to have compassion. When God should have wrath, God has compassion. When God should have judgment, God has compassion. The Bible says that he had compassion. The Bible says he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here it is, this young boy has got away from God, but yet he come back to his father. His father saw him. His father ran. His father embraced him. His father hugged him. His father had compassion on him. And his father, the Bible says, has kissed him on his neck. Can you think about how nasty this young boy was? Feeding himself with the swine, living with the pigs. Can you imagine how nasty a pig is? Can you imagine this young boy living with the pigs? He didn't have time to get himself cleaned up. He didn't have time to get himself all washed and prettied. All he knew is he'd come to the end of his ways. He'd come to himself. He says, I got to get back home. I want you to know something today. I've heard preachers preach this message. And they said when this young boy was coming back home, he had to pass every beer joint. He had to pass every woman. He had to pass every dope head that he was living with. But I believe, my friend, when you realize you need to come back to God, God's got his arms wide open. And no matter how you look and how you smell and what's in your life, stand up, Tiffany. You know what God would do? God would say, my son's come home. I love him. No matter how he smells and how he looks and what he has on in his life, I still love him. The Bible says the father ran to him, had compassion, hugged him, and kissed him on his neck. That's how our God is today. Well, your life ain't perfect. My life ain't perfect. Many times, you know what we believe? We believe we got to get rid of all this junk to get back to God. But I want you to know something. You get back to God to get rid of all this junk. Notice what the Bible says here, if you would. In verse 20, the Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am more worthy to be called thy son. We know what the rest of the young boy's message was. He says, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me a hired servant. This is what the young boy was going to say to his father. Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, but just make me a hired servant. Notice what the father said. The young boy said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice what the father said in verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Here this young boy said, God, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And here the father stepped in and said, hey, I don't want you to say another word. You're my son. You're my son. You're my son. He called another servant. He said, hey, go get the best robe. I don't know about you, but in our house, the best robe is daddy's robe. You know what God said? He talked to one of his servants. He said, hey, you go get my robe and put it on my son. You know what God gives you? When you get back to God, God is not going to browbeat you. God's going to give you the best. And God says, I'm going to get my robe to cover your filth, to cover your stench, to cover your past. He said, hey, go get my son a ring. Talking about an unending love that God has for us. This wedding band has no end. It has no beginning. Just like God's love. He said, hey, put my robe upon my son and put a ring on his hand so he'll know the unending love that I have. And hey, put shoes on his feet because he's not going to be a servant, but he's going to be my son. The Bible says this was my son. He was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. You know what God is? You know what God's doing today? If you're saved by God's grace and you got away from God, God's running after you to bring you back to him. God's running after you to bring you back to him. He's looking for you every day to come back home so he can take the best robe he could take daddy's robe and put it around him and put shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger because you're his son. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that the father ran to the young boy. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, I believe chapter 21, I believe it's verse 18 through 21. The Bible says if a young child has become stubborn and rebellious against the mom and daddy, and the mom and daddy has talked to the young child, and the young child just will not heed to the instructions of the mom and daddy, that the mom and daddy was supposed to grab the child and take him to the elders of the town, and the elders of the town was supposed to take stones and stone the young rebellious boy until he dies. So here this young boy, because he rebelled against daddy, he rebelled against his house, the Bible says this young boy, my friend, was supposed to be put to death. And that would have been right. But you know what God says? God says, I'm going to run to you because I don't want to give you death. I want to give you life. God says, you got away from me, but I want you back. God says, you went further down the road than you would ever imagine, but I'll take you back. God says, you don't love me now, but I still love you. And he'll run to you. And he'll put his robe around you. And put a ring on your hand and shoes on your feet. And he'll say, hey, this, my son. Oh, my son was dead. He was lost in the world, living for the devil. He wasted all that I've ever given him. He went to a foreign country and lived for himself and lived for the world. He spent all he had. He fed with the pigs. He's stinky. He's smelly. He's disgusting. He's ugly. He's wicked. He's sinful. But I want you to know something. He's my son, and I love him, and I care for him, and I will cover his sins. I will cover him with the precious blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sins. He said, hey, I'll cover you with my robe and put a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet. And I tell you what, I still call you my son. Here this father went running after the son. My friend, where you at today in your Christian life? Have you got away from God? I know we won't say we have. That would be too embarrassing for us to say we've got away from God. I wouldn't even ask you to raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not where I should be with God. But I tell you what, you know. You know where you are this morning with God. If you're not where you need to be, I want to tell you something. If you'll come back to God, God will take you back. Let me read this for you, then we'll close. The Bible says here in Psalms, let me just read this for you if you would. In Psalms 51 verse 1, the Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins as ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, and thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssops, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joyful and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Here the psalmist David got away from God. But he said, beloved, I want you to know something. There's a way back. When you come to God, God will take you back. Ain't that wonderful, church? That God in heaven, who's seen all your sins and who knows your heart, but yet he'll still take you back and say, this is my son. This is my son. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord God, there might be a Christian here this morning that's got away from God. And they're going further and further and further down a path they would never believe they would trod. But this morning, Lord, I believe you've given them hope. You've given them help. And this morning they can come back to God. Because the Bible says the Father was looking for the Son. I believe you're looking for them. And Lord God, when they get back to you, you'll put your robe around them. Put a ring on their hand and shoes on their feet. And you'll say, "This is my son. He was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And then the Bible says they begin to be merry. Lord, we can be glad today when a person comes back to God. Lord, help us now. I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Let's stand to our feet if we will. Heads bowed and eyes still closed. The invitation begins this morning. The altar's open this morning. You say, "Preacher, I've got away from God." Won't you come back? Won't you come back? You say, "Preacher, I'm not like I used to be. I'm not where I used to be." You can change that this morning. You can get help this morning. Won't you come back to God? Won't you come back to God this morning? You say, "Preacher, I've never been right with God. I've never been saved." Today you can change that. You can come to Jesus today. You know what he'll do? He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll make things right. Won't you come to the Lord? Won't you come back to the Lord? The Bible says the Father was looking for the Son. And he ran. He ran to the Son. Fell on his neck and loved and had compassion for him and kissed him. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to love you. He wants to have compassion for you. He wants to hug you and embrace you and kiss you. There's people praying this morning. Might be somebody praying for you. How's your relationship with Jesus? Like it should be. Like it could be. Do you have what you want for the Lord? Thank you, God, for this precious day that you've given to us. Father, we thank you for the people that's here. I pray you'll bless each and every one of them. God, for those who's away from God, I know it's going to take more than just a message to get them to the altar, to get them back to where they should be with the Lord. It's going to take the working of the Holy Spirit of God to get them to their wits' end when they come to their self. And they realize it's far better to be part of God's family and be part of what God's doing than to be in the world and serve himself. I pray, God, today you'll continue to work on their hearts, convict them of sin, and bring them to yourself that you can finish the great work that you started in their lives. Lord, I love